Hello and welcome to the Times Aerospace Insight programme. We look in more detail at a particular organisation or sector of aerospace and defence across the Middle East and Africa. This week we are focused on defence, and the programme is brought to you with the support of Al Salam Aerospace Industries, the diversified maintenance service provider based in Riyadh. Now, while the air transport sector has been devastated by the global pandemic, the defence industry has been steadily providing support with manufacturing to fight the COVID-19 virus, as well as continuing its ongoing work to protect citizens around the world. This week we are focusing on Saudi Arabia in the Middle East and Nigeria in Africa. Saudi Arabia's General Authority for Military Industries, known as GAMI, was set up 3 years ago as a regulator, enabler and licenser of the kingdom's defence industry. It has an aim to localise 50% of Saudi Arabia's military spending over the next decade, in line with the kingdom's Vision 2030. To achieve that, GAMI has identified three strategic focus pillars: industry regulation, acquisition and technology. Our defence correspondent Alan Warnes talked to the governor of GAMI, His Excellency Ahmad Al-Ohali. He started by asking him about the progress made on the organisation's goals to date.
I think since the inception, we have covered a good pace of building the internal infrastructure within GAMI, the corporation structure, the policies, strategies, procedures, as well as establishing the right connections with the stakeholders. And there have been several achievements. I think we are not necessarily in the autopilot mode, but we are into a very comfortable, operating mode at the moment.
What do you think your biggest achievements have been so far?
I think that, in my opinion, the biggest achievements is really building the organization and having capable human assets or human capital within GAMI at the moment, that are really fully understanding the mandate as well as are fully committed, loyal and very passionate about the job. And I think with such a kind of a group, they will have miracles.
And have you started integrating any of the companies yet into GAMI?
No, GAMI is we are the industry regulator and licensor and enabler for the military industry in Saudi Arabia. We are a government entity. We oversee the industry in Saudi Arabia as research. So what we are looking for now is actually helping to create thousands of small and medium-sized industry in Saudi Arabia, handful of champions of industry, private and government sector industry in Saudi Arabia. And we provide them the guidance, we provide them the licensing, the regulations, the enablement. We provide them with some kind of market share within Saudi Arabia and hopefully in the future, some export.
And are you working hand in hand with foreign companies to do this?
We are in the middle of a very, dynamic and a critical ecosystem when it comes to military industries. You have the end users in military and security services or ministries in Saudi Arabia. You have the foreign governments that we are dealing with in terms of armament, in terms of technology. And you have also the OEMs, the international OEMs and the local industry, the existing and the interested parties. So we are in the middle of that, circle that we are in contact, we are in establishing collaborations with all the local and international manufacturers.
And tell me, are you also looking to oversee or overview capabilities within the Saudi Arabia? For example, are you looking at the requirements for, say, setting up your own flying training capabilities?
Definitely, human capital is one of the major, enablers to have a successful military industry in Saudi Arabia. Our vision has put a target of localizing around 50 or more than 50% of our armament spending and services in 2030. And you cannot do this without the right human capital that is serving the whole industry, solving the whole research and center in Saudi Arabia. And I think this is one of the key issues that we are building now and establishing some kind of relationship with the educational institutions and research centers, both in kingdom and globally.
When I was at the Saudi International Air Show last year, it became obvious to me that you're hoping to bring things like the overhauling of helicopters back to Saudi Arabia. Will that happen as well?
I think we have so many programs, Alan, that we are working on. When we built our strategy 2 years ago, I think we have identified 11 segments in the industry that we are critical to Saudi Arabia from a security point of view and industry point of view. The MRO for helicopters and fixed wing is one of them. I think we are working now is trying to build an industry that's worth about 30 plus billion riyal over the next decade. And we have established a clear program on localizing each segment of these 11 platforms over the next 10 years. When we look to the military industry potential, we are talking about, as I mentioned, north of 30 billion Saudi riyal of investments. We are talking about contributions of about 40,000 direct employment, about 60,000 indirect employment. It's a huge market. It's a huge contribution to our GDP also by the 2030.
So, Your Excellency, you must have had some challenges during that time.
I think with every new, I would say, enterprise or with a new mandate, you always have challenges, but I think it creates hundreds of opportunities for us. There are internal challenges within Saudi Arabia, which is putting the infrastructure and the ecosystem for the military industry and technology, research, human capital. All this has to be built. We have to go through the building of the supply chain within Saudi Arabia that will be supporting the champions in the military defense. And there are, of course, external challenges that are the transfer of technologies and IP rights from international OEMs or international governments.
Oh, that's quite a lot of challenges you have there. Good luck. And do you envisage one day building your own platforms, your own aircraft?
I think with the proper planning, determination, everything is possible. I think we are taking it step by step. As I mentioned, the 11 segments that we identified as strategic, they are the most critical at the moment for the next decade. If you look to several countries in the past 7 or 8 decades, they started gradually. I think we are more ambitious, but we will leave that to its time.
So you've got to have discussions with people like BAE Systems and Boeing as well.
Those are key enablers and key partners and key stakeholders for the success of our industry in Saudi Arabia. And we have a strong relationship. They've been in Saudi Arabia doing a great business for, I would say, 5+ decades. So I think it's about time now that we have a better exchange of benefits between the OEMs and Saudi Arabia now. It was it used to be equipment for money. I think now needs to be exchange of IP and innovation and also across countries' investments. That will be on a win-win situation.
And I guess you would like to see more Saudi people employed by these companies as well.
I believe we have established a very beautiful, very good industrial participation program, which in the past was called the offset program. We have changed it. We have built it in a way that it's going to help and it's going to serve both the OEMs and the local companies to transfer the technologies and the operation. And I think it gives the opportunity even for the OEMs to have better access to the Saudi market.
And is this one of the reasons why you've launched the World Defense Show, is to, in a word, sort of give your capabilities, your requirements, a step up to try and push it along faster, to meet people and to maybe discuss with future customers? What is your thinking behind launching World Defense Show?
I think this is one of them. I think this is the World Defense Show is coming at the right time for both for the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the global industry. Saudi Arabia is one of the largest spender in armaments in the world, and it is one of the G20 economies. It's in the center of 3 continents, so it has its own social and economical, I would say, strength. And Saudi Arabia needs to establish a presence into the military industry and the interoperability. And that's why we decided that the WDS was going to be the global platform for that side of the business. That's bring all the related parties within Saudi Arabia, all the stakeholders from governments, entities, industry, business, research, education, as well as their counterpart internationally, put them together under one roof. And it will definitely, I think, will excel our ambition into the localization of industry in Saudi Arabia.
So you're looking to market your capabilities as well as attracting investment in the Saudi military aerospace?
Absolutely. I think it's an opportunity for the OEMs and foreign governments to showcase their products or industry. It is also an opportunity for our local existing as well as interested businesses to showcase their interest or to showcase their local capabilities in the supply chain. I think as we are putting them together into one room, I think it's going to open a great opportunity for both sides, I think, both in Saudi and outside of Saudi Arabia.
And have you announced yet where it's going to take place?
It's going to be in Riyadh, between March 6 and 9, 2022. So you need to mark your calendar for that.
So you're not only fulfilling Vision 2030 through GAMI, you're also helping to organize a major defense show now.
Exactly. I think the World Defense Show is really one of the tools that will help us to achieve our Vision 2030, not only in the defense and military industrialization. It's going to open up also opportunity for other functions in Saudi Arabia in terms of the visitors, in terms of businesses, be it industry, be it technology or education.
Well, good luck for the future, Your Excellency, and it sounds like you've got a lot of work on your hands, and good luck.
Thank you very much, Alan, and we hope to see you sometimes in Saudi Arabia.
That was His Excellency Ahmed Al-Hohali talking to Alan Warnes about GAMI. I think the plans for the World Defence Show are certainly exciting, and I know we will be talking a lot more about that milestone event over the next year. Now let's move across to Africa, where John Lake has been looking at Nigeria's plans for new fighter jets for the Air Force's efforts, particularly against Boko Haram. Here is John's analysis.
Back in February, Air Marshal Sadiq Abubakar, the Nigerian Chief of the Air Staff, announced that the Nigerian Air Force would take delivery of 3 JF-17 Thunder multi-role fighters in November 2020. Photos of these aircraft, now wearing full Nigerian Air Force markings, have now emerged online, indicating that their delivery is probably imminent. The JF-17 is a Chinese-designed, multi-role, single-engined, lightweight fighter in broadly the same category as the American F-16. It was jointly developed by China and Pakistan and is manufactured, or at least assembled, by the Pakistan Aeronautical Complex. Nigeria began preparing for its purchase of 3 blocks to JF-17 fighters in 2016, and the Pakistani government's Economic Coordination Committee approved a $184 million sovereign guarantee covering this deal in March 2019. Nigerian pilots began flying the JF-17 in Pakistan almost immediately, and photos were soon posted on social media showing the Nigerian pilots and the Nigerian aircraft, the latter painted in bright yellow primer. There has been speculation that a further order may now be placed following the delivery of this initial trio of aircraft, perhaps to equip as many as 2 full squadrons, though some analysts have suggested that this would be unlikely or unnecessary or both. This is because the Nigerian Air Force Fast Jet Force currently consists of 7 Chengdu F-7NI fighters. Now, these are arguably overdue for replacement, but also 10 Alpha Jets and a handful of Aero L-39s. The Alpha Jet and the L-39 Albatross, of course, were designed as advanced jet trainers, but they're primarily used as light attack aircraft in Nigerian service, and both types have been the subject of recent upgrades. The Alpha Jets and the L-39s will be augmented and perhaps eventually replaced by the 12 Embraer A-29 Super Tucano. These are turboprop-powered counterinsurgency aircraft that were ordered from a team of Embraer and the Sierra Nevada Corporation, and these are due to be delivered in 2022. The JF-17, by contrast, is a more capable aeroplane. It offers a useful combination of capabilities for Nigeria. The aircraft has sufficient performance to replace the Chengdu F7 in the fighter role and will give Nigeria its first beyond visual range air-to-air missile capability. But unlike the F7, the JF-17 can also fly precision strike missions using satellite-guided and laser-guided bombs and a range of missiles. One complicating factor for Nigeria is that the Block 2 JF-17 has now been superseded on the production lines by a new Block 3 version. Now, this means that any follow-on order by Nigeria would actually be for a different variant of the JF-17, a new version with ESA radar and a helmet-mounted display system and capable of using a range of new weapons, including the C-802 anti-ship missile, but different to the existing three aircraft. Now, this would cause problems with commonality and perhaps even with training. The Block 3 JF-17, however, would give Nigeria what would arguably be the most advanced fighter aircraft in sub-Saharan Africa. It would certainly be more modern and more capable than Angola's Sukhoi Su-30s, and arguably perhaps more capable than South Africa's Saab Gripens. Put these Block 3 aircraft in the hands of Nigeria's best pilots, who, remember, have amassed considerable combat experience in their long war against Boko Haram, and you will have an extremely impressive fighter force by any standards. So these are really exciting times for the Nigerian Air Force, and I, for one, will really look forward to seeing what happens next.
Thank you, John Lake. And thank you, El Salam Industries, for your support. But most of all, thank you for listening. Don't forget you can keep up with the latest news on defence and other sectors on our websites, arabianaerospace.aero and africanaerospace.aero. So until next time, goodbye.